Thank you, Vic. 720 WGN. Ken Smith with you for another hour and a half. And then Nick DiGilio, who I just saw in the hallway, will be joining us at 1 o'clock. Take you the rest of the way. Are you in debt? Do you have friends who are in debt? Of course you are. And of course you do. We all have one too many credit cards in our wallet or in our purse at the moment. And this next guest is going to help us with that. There's a new show that's going to premiere on Crackle tomorrow called Going From Broke. One of the executive producers of the show is somebody you may have heard of, Ashton Kutcher. And one of the stars of the program is financial expert Danitha Doe. Danitha Doe, welcome to 720 WGN.
Hey, Ken, how's it going?
It's going very well. How are you tonight?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. I want to start off by talking about student debt. How bad is it? How many students out there are in debt as we speak? Do you know the numbers?
Yes, it's definitely a growing crisis. We are currently about 44 million Americans owe a collective amount of $1.5 trillion in student loan debt. So this is something that impacts a number of people within the United States, and the impact ranges from millennials to their parents to those that are currently in college as well.
What do you say with a T, $1.5 trillion worth of student debt?
Yes.
Student loan debt.
That is a T, like Tom, like the tea you drink, the tea I'm drinking right now. That is $1.5 trillion, more money than most of us would say all of us have seen. But yes, this is a huge issue. And to give some context to it, because trillion can be hard to conceptualize. It's hard enough to conceptualize billion with a B. So $1 trillion, just to give some context around why this is such an issue, 15 years ago, that collective debt was $150 billion with a B, which is still a lot of money. But to think that the amount has increased by such an incredible amount in such a short period of time just shows that there is a lot of factors at play, and that this is a real drain on the economy. It's a drain on those. It's certainly an emotional burden for those that are currently struggling with student loan debt, and also it's a drain on the collective economy. So even for those that may not have student loan debt, maybe they didn't go to college, maybe they paid it off, this is something that impacts all of us, and we all need to be talking about it, because it's only going to get worse as time goes along.
Well, you said that earlier, you know, that 44 million Americans collectively owe this $1.5 trillion in student loan debt, but surely 44 million Americans aren't lacking the financial skills to pay their bills, are they?
I would say that's correct. I would say the majority of Americans know the best practices. I mean, we all know intuitively and conceptually and intelligently that it's important to spend less than what we earn. And I would say most of us do the best job we can to pay all of our monthly bills on time, and if we can, pay them ahead of time or pay more so that we can get ahead. So there are other factors at play. There are things such as rising tuition rates. Some reports place tuition rates rising 200% over the last 15 to 20 years. It certainly is rising faster than the rate of inflation, and certainly rising faster than the rise in wages or salaries. So many people that have student loan debt are between a rock and a hard place. They are doing the best that they can to make those monthly payments, but the economy isn't keeping up with the costs that they have had to endure in order to invest in their education and to create their own path to financial freedom.
Do other countries have this problem, or is this student loan debt crisis purely an American problem?
There are other countries that have issues with student loan debt. The UK would be one of them, but the exorbitant amount that we collectively have here in the United States is unique to us. There are other countries that have done a really good job around creating free access to higher education, and those countries, of course, then do not deal with the student loan debt problem, that the crisis that we have here.
Okay, you bring that up. There are many presidential candidates right now that are campaigning on some form of free college. Do you think that that goal is a realistic one?
I absolutely believe it's a realistic one. You know, it's interesting because usually the question that comes up when any presidential candidate brings up that case that we need to make college free, the next question is, well, where is the money going to come from?
How are you going to pay for it? Right, yeah.
How are we going to pay for it? Well, there are a lot of areas within our spending, within our government, that can be curbed. There are a lot of areas where there is cash that is leaking out of, and hemorrhaging is probably a better word, out of our budget. And if we pay attention to those and plug those, I mean, one, for instance, would be our Department of Defense that is given a budget of $700 billion that they do not ask for. So this is one area that we can look into and reorganizing the way that our government uses those funds and reorganize it to something that should be viewed as a public good. That's part of the issue when it comes to higher education, is that we have shifted over the course of the last 20 to 30 years that the idea of going to college or university, this idea of pursuing a higher education, should be the responsibility of the student. And that wasn't always the case. 30 years ago, it was seen as a public good. And so there were a number of subsidies put in place so that the burden was not on the 18, 19-year-old or the older adult who was going back to school to create a better life for him or herself and their family. The burden was not placed on that individual. It was seen as something that the collective community was investing in, because when people are given the opportunity to invest in themselves, that improves everyone's experience. And so where the money will come from, there's lots of places where it can come from, and also we need to have a shift in how we view higher education. It's not just solely the responsibility of the students, it's also an investment in the community as well.
Do you happen to know the numbers in regards to how much the average family has to save to put their child through 4 years of college?
Well, the average cost or the average student loan debt that a student will graduate with is currently around $39,000. And so that is something that either the family has to figure out how they're going to pay through loans. Certainly there are scholarships and grants, but the average student graduates with about $39,000 in debt.
So you walk across the stage, you move the tassel to the side, you get your degree and your diploma, and you're $40,000 in debt before you walk off the stage.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, let's think about this. This is most of these student loans are signed by kids. These are children that are 17, 18 years old that don't necessarily have a concept of what $40,000 is, first of all. And then secondly, it's not just the principal that they owe. So when I say that they graduate with $39,000 or $40,000 in debt, that is the principal, the actual amount of money that they have borrowed in order to go to school. That does not include sometimes the origination fee. So if they had to take out a PLUS loan, which is a parent loan for undergraduate students, where the parent takes out a loan to support their dependent to go through school, there is a really steep origination fee that's attached to that. And then if it's not a PLUS loan, there are certainly penalties and fees and interest that are tacked on to that principal after the student has graduated and then takes time to pay it off, because it will take time for them to pay that off. So the $40,000 quickly balloons to a much higher rate that has to be paid back. And it's really burdensome for a lot of people.
Denitha Doe is our guest. She is a financial expert, and she is one of the stars of the new Crackle original show, Going for Broke, that premieres exclusively on the free streaming service tomorrow, and it is executive produced by Ashton Kutcher. And I interviewed Ashton Kutcher once, and he lived here in Chicago for a time, and when he was younger. So I bet that he was a young, broke college student at one time. So this is probably something that means a lot to him.
I didn't know that about Ashton. I knew he grew up in Iowa, but yes, a lot of us can relate to this time period. I certainly can. I went to school and took out a lot of loans in order to make that happen, and I can really empathize with a lot of students, because when you're going to school, you're just in the moment. You're excited about this new opportunity. You're eager to do the work in order to create a new life for yourself, or to continue the legacy that your parents have laid for you. And all of these loan terms are brand new. Many of us didn't have personal financial education in high school. So how could we possibly know what we were signing before going off to college or university? We're just focused on having a good time. People say that these 4 years, or however long it is in college, is the best time of your life. So a lot of us have that mindset, and we're focused on that, and we're focused on doing the best that we can. We aren't really thinking about the cost, the burden that will be placed on our shoulders after we graduate. So yes, I'm sure Ashton and maybe others, a lot of us can identify with the struggle that many graduates face.
We have to take a quick break. We talked a lot about student loan debt. When we come back, I want to talk about the debt that just John and Jane Doe have on a daily basis. Maybe they don't have kids in college. Maybe they're not paying off a college loan or something like that. But boy, there sure are a lot of people that are living above their means, and maybe you can help them out. Denitha Doe is our guest. She's the star of the new Crackle original show, Going from Broke. We'll talk about credit card debt with her when we return on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Denitha Doe is a financial expert and the star of the new Crackle original show, Going from Broke, which premieres tomorrow on the streaming service. We spent a lot of time talking about student debt, but Denitha, I want to talk to you a little bit about good old-fashioned debt and credit card debt. There are a lot of people that have way too many credit cards and way too much debt, and they're looking for a way out. Is it better to try debt consolidation? Is it best to work with the credit card companies? Should you, I watch Maury every afternoon, and every other commercial is about bankruptcy. Is bankruptcy the answer? What's the best way to try and get out from all that credit card debt?
This is such a good conversation, Ken. So credit card debt is something that many Americans have, and some are trying to figure out how to best manage it. You brought up bankruptcy. I would say that is an option for most people. That is the last resort, because there's a lot of challenges that come after you file for bankruptcy. So
let me ask you very quickly, what are a couple of the pros and a couple of the cons to bankruptcy?
Well, the pros to bankruptcy are that the majority of your debts are discharged. Typically, student loans are not discharged. We were just talking about student loans, so that's why I brought that up. But with bankruptcy filing, you can discharge the majority of the debt that you have. So that means that you are not responsible for that. The cons to that, though, is that this stays on your record, your credit report, for at least 7 years. And so that means that when you get back on your feet financially and say maybe you're ready to buy a home or you're ready to do something where you need to get a loan for it, that will show up on your report and it will make it very challenging for you to be able to take out a mortgage or take out a loan in order it'll be difficult to do that. So that's something definitely to keep in mind.
So if you end up filing for bankruptcy and then you end up needing something where you need that loan or that good credit, you're going to take a 7-year hit on that bankruptcy. What about debt consolidation? What exactly is that? Is that something that is that a real thing or is that a scam?
It's definitely a real thing. And to be clear, there are always scammers out there. So you want to do your due diligence when you're working with any company to help you consolidate. I recommend going directly to your credit card provider to consolidate your debt as opposed to going to a consolidation company. And the reason for that is because even if the consolidation company isn't running a scam, they will charge you a fee to work with them, and you can bypass that fee by working directly with your credit card provider. So we had a couple on the show going from broke, Max and Megan, who had 12 credit cards, and that was one of our suggestions to them was to consolidate those 12 credit cards. And the reason why you want to do that is because for two main reasons. One, when you consolidate your credit cards, you're able to reduce the interest rate on the majority of those credit cards. So say the average interest rate on your credit cards is hovering around 20%. When you consolidate it, you're able to reduce that interest rate to maybe 18 or 17%. The other big reason why you want to do this is that you can make one payment per month. So with Max and Megan, they were making 12 payments per month to 12 different sources. When you consolidate, you're able to make one payment, which emotionally and psychologically feels much better. It feels much more manageable. And from a tactical perspective, it's much more easy to manage. So debt consolidation is definitely an option. If you're someone that's thinking about debt consolidation, I recommend calling the credit card company that where you have the highest interest rate and let them know your situation and work with them to see if there's a way that they will essentially buy your other credit cards. That's what that credit card company will do. They'll buy the debt from those other credit card companies, consolidate it into one lump sum, and ideally, like I mentioned earlier, reduce the interest rate, and then you'll make that payment directly to them.
So if you can cut that deal with the credit card company, they'll do the work for you. They'll buy the debt off of the other cards, put it onto their card, and then hopefully lower your interest rate on that card, and then you just pay off that one card.
Exactly.
Is there a difference or a benefit to having a store credit card as opposed to a bank credit card? Like a Sears card or a Kohl's credit card or whatever?
Well, the amazing benefit of credit cards are the perks that they offer. So there are credit cards that have perks like travel points. My fiance has a credit card that we use because we like to travel together. And that credit card, when you use it, you're able to rack up points and then use those points to pay for a trip, for instance. When it comes to store credit cards, I'm a huge fan of Target. And so their credit card, if you use it, you can rack up points and then, you know, you can earn a $50 gift card. I say that because each credit card has its own perks. So the key with credit cards is to spend mindfully on them. That's usually the biggest issue when it comes to credit cards. We all know in our brain that we should spend less than what we earn. We don't do it for a variety of reasons. And so when it comes to credit cards, it's remembering that same concept to spend less than what you can afford to spend. And so the idea with credit cards, the way to stay ahead of them is to spend mindfully when using them. And then to also use credit cards, see credit cards as perks. So if you're someone that likes to travel, look for credit cards that have travel perks. If you're someone that also loves to shop at different stores, look into that store's credit card and see if it makes sense for you to sign up for that credit card. The issue becomes when we've got a ton of credit cards that we are not using mindfully. We're just spending without really thinking about it. And so the goal is to use only what you need and to make sure that your spending is in alignment with your values and what you really enjoy doing.
Use only what you need. If you take anything away from this, take that away. Denitha Doe, financial expert. She's on the new Crackle original show, Going From Broke. It premieres on the free streaming service tomorrow. Lots of great tips if you watch that show. Denitha, thank you so much for joining us on 720 WGN. When we come back, it's going to be Will Tarrant, the lead pumpkin carver for Jack's Pumpkin Glow in Lyle, coming up on 720 WGN.